Eddie Valverde stole the show at the Bernabeu, scoring a hat-trick to see off Manchester City. It's advantage Paris Saint-Germain after an impressive win over Chelsea, but a glimpse have gone and done it again, this time Sporting have fallen in Norway, while Kai Havertz scored at former club Leverkusen as Arsenal earned a draw. So much to discuss for the round of 16 first leg ties in the UEFA Champions League. I'm Rob Daly, welcome to the show after a huge night in the UEFA Champions League. And with me is European football expert Kevin Hatchard with four incredible results across a few hours of action.
We talk about statement performances sometimes. The statements have had megaphones attached tonight. Some absolutely incredible performances, some brilliant results. Bodø/Glimt excelling again. Paris showing that they're maybe getting back towards their best form. And I know we're going to talk a lot about Real Madrid, but that's the best I've seen them play for a long, long time.
Let's get into it then. Manchester City, the visitors to the Bernabeu for a 14th meeting with Real Madrid in 10 years. And as we've come to expect when these two meet in the competition, it did not disappoint.
Chase on for Valverde at the other end. Donnarumma has come, hasn't got to the ball. Valverde forced wide, but slots it in. And Real Madrid lead, courtesy of their captain. The huge clearance from Courtois, catching out to a certain extent his opposite number. Donnarumma, who had to come and try and get there, was just beaten to the ball by Valverde.
3-1 football, but it worked perfectly. Valverde does brilliantly because it's not an easy angle. He's made it look very simple, but you have to credit Courtois.
Valverde has got the goal, has made the run again here, and reached it and scored again. Drills it in, left-footed finish this time across Donnarumma, in at the far corner, and he's helped himself to another one. Clinical from the captain.
Well, if we thought he took the first goal well, that is even better, and he just fires it across Donnarumma and into that far corner. That is beautifully taken.
Thiago, Manchester City have just about had time to get players back in position again in their own penalty area and still need them here, though. Brian Diaz in for Valverde for the hat-trick. Incredible. It's 3-0. It's Fede Valverde again in the perfect position to thump in another one. And Real Madrid in complete command of the tie.
That is an absolutely extraordinary goal. This has been one of the great individual performances, I would say, in Champions League history in the first half.
Vinicius Junior still going. Donnarumma then goes to ground. He's certainly brought down Vinicius Junior, and it will be a penalty. And Vinicius Junior, who won it, is going to take it. Steps up to the ball, couple of strides, and Donnarumma saves it down to his left. Wasn't struck with any sort of power, really, by Vinicius Junior. Donnarumma has got the better of that battle and made a big save. Full-time at the Bernabeu. Real Madrid 3, Manchester City 0.
Yeah, what a game, what a performance. You heard Kev there on commentary alongside Phil Blacker, who joins us now. Phil, of course, Champions League goal machine, Fede Valverde, popping up with a hat-trick.
You would have thought so, wouldn't you, from the manner in which he took the goals, clinical performance from him. But yeah, previously, just three goals in 75 appearances in the Champions League, one of which actually came against Manchester City in the quarterfinals a couple of seasons ago. And then three fabulous goals for very different reasons in the first half to go with an outstanding all-round performance from him. One of the best individual displays I've seen from anyone in the Champions League for a long time.
It kind of reminded me a bit, Kev, of Jude Bellingham a couple of years ago when Madrid didn't really have that centre-forward or attacking option. They're without Kylian Mbappe tonight, and Valverde was popping up in exactly the right areas to get his goals.
Yeah, what's crazy about it really is that when Valverde scores goals, and he got a big winner against Celta Vigo in the last La Liga game, that was in stoppage time, usually it's been from range. He's got this reputation as a fierce striker of the football. Thibaut Courtois once said, when we're in training, if I don't concentrate and he's hitting a shot from range, he'll break my hand. He said, honestly, he's hurt me so many times because I've not been ready for a shot, and he hits it so truly. Not tonight, though, because what he's got is this ability to score all types of goals that we never really knew he had. Because the first goal is a long ball over the top, but it's about A, the run, which is really smart, The first touch is brilliant because it takes him away from O'Reilly. He just touches it past him and lets Donnarumma slide past him and then takes it. The second goal is very different because he takes it in stride on his weaker left foot and just concentrates on hitting it low across the goalkeeper. The third is just extraordinary from start to finish, because Thiago, making his first Champions League start, young man, little trick in the on the edge of the area, finds Brahim Diaz, who lifts it into Valverde's path, who has the presence of mind to lift it over an England international defender in Mark Gaye, and in the same movement, without letting the ball drop, volley it into the far corner. Just absolutely
is it one
incredible.
Of the best Champions League hat-tricks? I mean, there's some 100%. Brilliant ones out there, but given the context of the game as well, I mean...
Because it's so unusual, because of exactly what Phil's talked about, the dearth of goals at this level from him, because that's not necessarily what we know him for. But the variety of finishes, the calmness he showed, the technique that he showed, yeah, I put it right up there with the best we've seen in the
competition. It's almost like the first goal was like Vinicius-like, the second was like Mbappe-like, and the third you could see Bellingham doing, actually, popping up in that kind of area for Madrid. Phil, we also heard there on the commentary that the moment that Vinicius Jr. had a penalty saved by Donnarumma, so they could have won by a greater margin. Can you give us an overall reflection of how the game played out between these two teams? Because I think many people going in tonight, given the injury situation for Madrid, were thinking City have probably got the edge in this tie.
I think many made them marginal favourites, certainly going into the game. And there wasn't a lot in it in the early exchanges. And Manchester City started in confident fashion when we saw the team sheet and the attacking talent that they'd named. Their approach kind of mirrored that, really, in the way that they were all getting involved. But Real Madrid were resilient defensively right from the start. And once they made the breakthrough from Valverde, that seemed to fuel their belief that it was going to be their night. They turned in this sort of all-action display that we've expected to see from Real Madrid teams maybe down the years, not necessarily from this one, given the context of their season and all the absences that they've had. And then, you know, 3-0 in front at half-time, Manchester City had to take some chances. They had to commit to attack. Guardiola made changes in that second period. They still weren't really creating many clear-cut opportunities. Had it gone 4-0, but for the Donnarumma save from Vinicius Jr., it might have been tempting to say that it is completely tie over. Have to credit Courtois for a big reaction save. He was partly culpable in the creation of the chance for Nico O'Reilly, actually, with the pass in towards Thiago, which caused the problem. But the reaction was wonderful to keep that clean sheet as well, keep it at 3-0. But that moment aside, really, for all their late pressure and possession, which they had the greatest share of in the game, that was partly down to circumstance in the second half. You never really felt that a Manchester City comeback on the night was that likely, which speaks volumes about how well Real Madrid did defensively. And I think there was one little moment right at the end of the game which sort of summed everything up, when Valverde, after that first half hat-trick, was the one chasing the ball back into his own corner in stoppage time, went flying into a challenge, won the tackle, went to ground, got back to his feet, cleared the ball away, and the whistle went seconds later, and that kind of summed everything up, I think.
It was just an extraordinary display from everyone, really. I didn't see it coming, I have to say. I looked at the players they had out. I've watched a lot of their recent games in La Liga, the game where Celta Vigo, which they won, the game at home against Getafe, which they lost. And you'd had that kind of variance in performances. And going into this, I thought, well, this is tough. I mean, this is against a City team that has so much firepower, so much quality. First 5 minutes, I thought, OK, this is going how I thought it might do, in terms of City were finding pockets of space, they were getting Doku on the move, they were opening things up. But coaching-wise, superb from Arbeloa, because there's lots of talk about him. He's a Real Madrid guy. It's all about defending the shirt, defending the colours. Let's have pride in our performance. Not much talk about, well, what's his coaching like? What does he do in that sense? Shape was perfect. He had rotations. He'd identified that City would push high, and so there was space in behind. So as much as it's Valverde's night, it's Arbeloa's night as well, because that was the best they've played this season.
And a bit of a night for the academy.
Yes.
I mean, we're looking at a couple of players involved. In particular, Thiago obviously knows Arbeloa from the Castilla setup, but real faith to put him into that game against a midfield that had Rodri, Bernardo Silva, Antoine Semenyo. I mean, real quality for City.
He's got some guts, that kid. He really does, because you think of the quality he's up against. Didn't look like it. Give me the ball. Give me the ball. Let me influence the game. defensively he was in the right positions. He was going out and helping Trent Alexander-Arnold, so he had that awareness that when Valverde's not there to help out, I can go and sort that out. I was so impressed with the way he really embraced the occasion.
Looked right at home, didn't he? So easy to forget that was his first ever Champions League start, and he never started a game in the Spanish Liga until a couple of matches ago. He'd started the last two, but that was the first time that we'd seen him in the 11 in the first team, and he looked like he'd been there for years, still only 18, and it gives great hope as well, doesn't it, and a pathway to the other young players, a lot of whom have been working recently with Arbeloa until recently, that they can follow suit. And when you consider all the injuries that they have, we looked at the team sheet at the start of the game and thought, you know, maybe they don't have the strength and depth that they used to have, but they found a way by bringing these young players through, and the future for them looks incredibly bright.
Where this could be really important, I think, for Real Madrid, and obviously we'll see what happens next week, but I think in general, they're still in a La Liga title race. They're still in this competition. This is where I think Arbeloa uses this performance to say to his players, look at what you can do. Look at what you're capable of when you are in shape, when you are all working for each other, when you're all backing each other up. This is what we can do. We know we've got the quality. We know we can play through teams. What can we do when we don't have the ball? And this, I think, is the template. This sets the standards, and he can say to his players, I want you to hit that again and again and again. And if you do, we can win things.
Quick turnaround for both teams, 6 days until the second leg. Madrid play relegation-threatened Elche in between. It felt like it wasn't City's night. I mean, there was even a moment where Donnarumma, where Courtois, I should say, made an extraordinary save after Nico O'Reilly shut down Thiago inside his own box. So it just kind of felt it was going to go Real Madrid's way. Are City still in this tie?
I think they are, because you look at the firepower they have, and the challenge to Real Madrid, as I say, will be, fine, this is great, brilliant performance, can you do it again? Can you keep doing it? Because they're going to have to in Manchester, because City have incredible quality. They've scored more, by far the most open play goals in the Premier League this season. They will find spaces, they'll find chances. It's just about whether they can take
early goal.
Yeah, it's the classic scenario, and they're capable.
I think one of the beauty of this rivalry in recent years, though, is that the extraordinary can and has happened. We've seen some dramatic turnarounds, haven't we? Some late comebacks between these two sides in particular over the last five seasons. And this is the Champions League. I've lost count of the number of times I've been sat here over the years after a 3-0 first leg. That's finished. And of course it never is. So anything is possible next week. But Real Madrid in a much stronger position, I think, than anybody would have expected them to be.
Full time, Real Madrid 3, Manchester City 0. Let's go to our next game. Paris Saint-Germain 5, Chelsea 2. Two late goals from Krysia Kvaratskhelia. A super brace, topping off an impressive night for the holders.
I think today we showed everybody that we are capable of everything, so we just have to continue like this manner. Maybe we concede two goals, and we have to see that what mistakes we done, but we are happy that we won three more goals than Chelsea, so we will focus now about the next game.
Let's do the timeline of the game. Bradley Barcola put Paris Saint-Germain ahead on 10 minutes with a thumping finish. Down at the other end, prior to the half hour, Enzo Fernandez found Malo Gusto right side of the box. He drove home for 1-1. Shortly before halftime, an extraordinary counter-attack from Paris Saint-Germain. Really a one-man counter-attack from Ousmane Dembele, who ran from his own half, went all the way to score. Enzo Fernandez levelled into the second half, 57 minutes on the clock, meeting a Pedro Neto cutback. Philip Jorgensen, starting in goal for Chelsea, gave the ball away on the edge of his own box. Vitinha lobbed him, 3-2. And then the two late strikes, in particular the first superb from Kvaratskhelia from the edge of the box to make it 5-2. And at 3-2, Kev, they had that goal disallowed Chelsea for an offside on João Pedro. How different it could have been, but it really feels like Luis Enrique's side now are in real control of it.
Yeah, I think so. I think in terms of the tie, because I can't see them not scoring at Stamford Bridge. I think they will score. I think Chelsea are what they are. They're very competitive. They have some real talent in that team. I think they're capable of scoring against anyone. And actually, for a big part of this game, they were at eye level with Paris, I thought. You know, at 2-2, you thought, OK, maybe they can push on and maybe get another one, actually. But this Paris team fascinates me. because I don't think they're near their best yet, and they've just put 5 past Chelsea, they put 7 past Leverkusen in the league phase, they won at Barcelona in what I still think is maybe one of the top 3 performances we've seen in the tournament this season, and then against Monaco in the playoff they were okay, they were fine, they've got Douay who's brilliant and, you know, scored a lot of goals, but it's not near their best. So that's the gear they can find. So third gear, fine. Fourth, fifth, still to come.
Kvishev Kvaratskhelia, by the way, was on the pitch for 29 minutes. He is the official player of the match, having come on just prior to the hour mark. It's only the second time that Chelsea have conceded 5 goals in the UEFA match after a 5-1 defeat away from home against Barcelona in the Champions League quarterfinals. We all remember that tie back in April 2000. Still to come, we'll break down tonight's 2 other ties.
Take UEFA Champions League Match Day live with you wherever you go, with audio commentary, real-time stats, and much, much more. Get the complete experience and download the official Champions League app today.
But a glimpse were the story of the knockout playoffs last month when they knocked out last year's runners-up Inter Milan, and their round of 16 got off to another dream start against Sporting tonight. They have beaten the defending Portuguese champions by 3-0. Sondre Fett with a penalty, one that was won by himself on 32 minutes, sending the goalkeeper Rui Silva the wrong way. Ola Blombo made it 2-0 right on half-time when he was in the right place at the right time to pick up an awkward ball. And then, of course, Kasper Hu has to score his goal, doesn't he? Got one from close range. The big number 9 made brilliantly by Jens Peter Hauge down the left-hand side. And it's just another scalp to add to the... Look, they're not through yet, but they're in a super position to reach the Champions League quarterfinals.
You know when you play in an amateur five-a-side league and there's one team that you find that have dominated your league and won every game about 12-0, you come up against them, you can't get near them. That's what they are, but at so much of a higher level. They are just, they have this incredible synergy where everybody knows where everybody is without even having to look. It's just telepathy. They know where they are. That's great coaching. It's great play, but it's great coaching. Kjetil Knudsen's a genius. Honestly, I know we've talked a lot about him and the job that he's done, but it's one of the best coaching jobs in terms of body of work of the 21st century in European football. It just is. Like, how do you take a team that's never won its league before to win the league 4 times, get to a... do well in the Conference League, get to a Europa League semi-final.
Lots of players from your town of just over 50,000 people.
3 of them were born in the place and went away and came back. So not only have you done all that and you've created the coaching, but you've created an environment where players go away and then they want to come back. That's quite something, because, you know, the Norwegian league, with respect, is not somewhere that generally that happens, because players will move elsewhere and they'll stay in France or stay in Germany or whatever. But they are beating teams on merit, and they're beating them by quite a margin. I mean, the runaway leaders in Serie A in the last round, they beat home and away. This game they could have won by more. They won 3-0 and could have won by more. So just a phenomenal story. And they are there on merit, and it's going to take quite something to stop them.
Phil, obviously you commentated on the game against Atletico at the end of the league phase.
Yes.
Where yes, they'd just beaten City, but the stakes couldn't be higher for them in that game. Could you have imagined after that game that they still get themselves into this situation, this kind of situation?
It's utterly incredible. I think regardless of whatever happens from here in the Champions League, this is the story of the season. Bodo Glimt getting to this point and threatening to go much further, because who knows where this is going to end up. But yeah, if they dropped points in either of those last two games against Manchester City at home and Atletico away, that was it. The Champions League dream was over. The remarkable run that they'd already been on was kind of come to its conclusion. Everyone was anticipating that it would. And since then, since beating both of those sides, impressively, you know, they weren't victories that they sneaked. They were 3-1 winners against Manchester City. As you say, I saw the game at the Metropolitano, a real spirit against Atletico to get the job done when nobody was expecting that. Then to beat Inter at home and away, and now 3-0 against Sporting. All the while, where they haven't been playing league football, the start of the new Norwegian season for them was meant to come, I think, this coming Saturday. That game against Sarpsborg has been postponed in between the two legs against Sporting. Not necessarily an organisational issue that I think anybody was possibly predicting. They have beaten Molde in a cup game in between. That's the only other match they played in this sequence, which potentially might have helped them a little bit, but it's just been astonishing. And yes, the camaraderie that they have, the togetherness as a collective that they have, are outstanding. But you can't just put what they've done down to that. What they have done is play some outstanding football against some of the best teams in Europe.
That's the point I was making about the silly five-a-side thing. Is it's the technical quality. Like it's that. These are not kind of plucky underdogs who, don't they work hard and they really fight
set
for
piece,
each other.
Long ball, something like that. Yeah.
They're not.
They're playing wonderful
they're
football.
Absolutely yeah. not. Yeah. They sweep through anyone at numbers and they let you play. They give you a chance, like no doubt about it. They take risks, but they will back themselves to score more than you. And I've never, and genuinely, you know, we've been in this game a long time. I cannot remember a team that has played with so little fear at this level. Like they
and composure. I mean,
exactly that. It's like they smile. You know, you see teams with the game face on when the anthem goes on. They're all giggling away. They're smiling. They're looking at each other. They're like, isn't this great? That's what you want to see. And that's a really hard thing to create.
Can Sporting, who finished seventh in the league phase, let's not forget, they won five of their matches and beat Paris Saint-Germain to reach the round of 16 directly. Can they turn it around in Lisbon? One other game to touch upon. Arsenal topped the league phase thanks to a perfect winning record in the Champions League. They return to action tonight with Bayer Leverkusen looking to end their perfect run. Mark Scott was watching for UEFA.
Right, struggling, goal! Leverkusen in front! Robert Andrich gives the home side the lead. It's been plain sailing in the Champions League up until now for Arsenal, who find themselves behind by a bundle in, a corner kick goal.
Madueke away from Tilman, who lunges in. Madueke goes over, penalty. Nonny Madueke charging at the Leverkusen backline and winning the Gunners a penalty with 5 minutes left to play. Havertz just about squeezes it home, and a look of relief on the face of Kai Havertz as much as anything, and certainly a feeling of relief for Arsenal. Mikel Arteta's men have parity. They will go into the return leg with the scores level. It finishes by Leverkusen 1, Arsenal 1.
An excellent performance from Bayer Leverkusen, but denied their famous win. The man who drew the crucial penalty was Nonny Madueke. He's been speaking to our reporter Matthias Reuters.
Nonny 1-1 against Bayer Leverkusen. Was it a bit more work than you expected?
No, Champions League round of 16, we know that all the teams in the competition at this point are top level. We expected that. They played really well, and at the end of the day, I think probably 1-1 is a fair result, and we'll just take it back to London with full confidence in ourselves to get the job done.
What did you do well tonight, and what has to be better next week?
I feel like maybe our composure in the final third. Taken a few more risks with our passing. I think it got better as the game went on, but obviously we were 1-0 down, so that's kind of the game state. I think.
And how far the game next week will be different than the one tonight? What kind of game do you expect?
Yeah, we'll be at home with our fans. Obviously, we'll be trying to win the game. We always go out to try and win the game, so when we don't, we're disappointed. It will be a different game. Obviously, home atmosphere, and like I said, I reiterate, I feel like we'll be in a fantastic place to get the job done.
Nonny Madueke speaking to our reporter Matthias Reuters there. A little earlier, I caught up with Matthias, who revealed to me the mood in the Leverkusen camp tonight.
Leverkusen coach Kasper Hjulmand, he spoke of mixed emotions after the match. And this summed it up perfectly. On the one hand, there was great euphoria here in Leverkusen as Arsenal had been so close to defeat for a long time. On the other hand, there is naturally great disappointment of Leverkusen that the team only managed to draw in the end. I think things will not get any easier in London now, even though Arsenal are under more pressure, I guess.
And I understand you've been speaking to Bayer Leverkusen goalscorer Robert Andrich about his goal. It all stemmed from a fantastic play straight from kickoff and then that perfect execution from the corner.
Yes, I spoke to him and he told me about his goal, that this situation had been planned exactly like that, which is a bit funny because before the match, everybody here was talking about Arsenal's set pieces. And now Leverkusen have scored like that. But it was really well played by Bayer.
And of course, it had to be Kai Havertz, didn't it, to score from the spot against his old club to level for Arsenal. Can you give us a sense of the regard Leverkusen fans still hold for Havertz?
Yeah, first of all, we have to say this man has nerves of steel. I heard Kai saying after the match that the minute, the time between the whistle and the penalty kick seemed like an eternity to him. But he also said that he knows the stadium really well because he played here as a kid, as a young man. And he has scored many penalties from exactly this spot he shot from tonight. And that was why he felt so confident and he wanted to score this penalty tonight. And after the match, everybody close to the locker room, everybody wanted to talk to him tell him congratulations.
Matthias, thanks so much for your insights and speak to you soon.
Thank you. Have a good evening too.
Our reporter Matthias Rutter speaking from the Bayer Arena earlier on today. Let's switch things back to the remarkable win at the Bernabeu for Real Madrid and hear from Manchester City captain Bernardo Silva, who remains hopeful they can overturn that 3-goal deficit.
Even though we still believe it's possible, because in football a lot of things can happen. At halftime we were saying that the situation is bad, a lot of things that shouldn't have happened, but with one goal you're in the tie, and 3-0 makes it a bit more difficult. Now it feels really dark. Tomorrow's another day, and for sure next week we will go to that game thinking that we have a chance.
And here's what Real Madrid fullback Trent Alexander-Arnold in the starting 11 tonight made of their first leg victory.
3-0 is an exceptional result for us, and I think it was thoroughly deserved. Of course, they had their chances and possession. It's Manchester City, we expected that, but we were ruthless. We took our chances, and I think us as players, the fans, the whole club, we know that this isn't finished. And we've seen crazy, crazy games between these two clubs before. So we can't rule out anything. We don't take anything for granted, and we try to continue to go to the Etihad and win there as well.
Yeah, he's seen a comeback from 3-0 down, hasn't he? Trent Alexander-Arnold on the other end of it for Liverpool against the great Barcelona. Phil Blacker and Kev Hatch are with me to see out the end of the show. So these are the scores. I want to know who's going through from each of these ties in the Champions League. Paris Saint-Germain 5-2 win over Chelsea. Bodø/Glimt 3, Sporting 0. Bayer Leverkusen 1, Arsenal 1, and of course Real Madrid, Manchester City 3. Have you got any surprises for us here, Phil, or are you going with the expected?
I think I'm going to have to go with the expected. I wouldn't be surprised if I'm wrong, but such are the margin of belief for Bodo and Real Madrid. Yeah. They should be enough, shouldn't they? I think Paris will be too strong for Chelsea. The one that is still in the balance is Leverkusen-Arsenal, but I think with home advantage, I'd go for the Gunners in that one.
Kev?
Yeah, exactly the same. I think Arsenal, I think, will be a little too strong for Leverkusen in North London. Bodø against Sporting, as well as Bodø have done, and as incredible as they are, I think that atmosphere in Lisbon is going to be incredible. So if Sporting get the early goal there, that might be back on, but I'd expect them to see it through. Real Madrid, I think, will see it through, and so will Paris.
And what about the other day, Kev? Why not? Let's put you on the spot then, because we're going to have coverage of these games on Wednesday, the 18th of March. Barca 1, Newcastle 1, Liverpool 0, Galatasaray 1, Bayern 6, Atalanta 1, and Spurs 2, Atletico 5.
The one that might surprise you is I think Newcastle are going to knock out Barcelona.
Oh, okay.
Because I felt when it was drawn, I felt the tactical matchup works for Newcastle. And I saw enough in that first leg to make me think that a fully fit Anthony Gordon, once he's over the illness. And he obviously came on towards the end of the first leg. Him, Harvey Barnes, Ilanga.
Getting
him
behind Barcelona.
Getting him behind. I think they'll make chances. If they can take those chances, I think they go through.
Kev will text me soon as it's full-time on Wednesday if he's got these right, by the way.
100%.
Yeah. Gents, thank you very much for your company. That's all we've got time for. After another Champions League night that delivered with so many talking points, Matchday Live is back on air from 8:45 Central European Time next Tuesday for the second legs of tonight's ties. And a reminder, you can download the official UEFA Champions League podcast shortly after every single match night of this season's competition. My thanks to Kevin and Phil for their company this evening. But for now, from me, Rob Daly, and the rest of the Matchday Live team, it's goodbye.
You've been listening to the official UEFA Champions League podcast.